Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, following up. Here we go. We've talked about following up in a number of career tools, Cash, right?
Everyone.
Right? Everyone. And rightly so. It's one of the marks of a true professional, right? People who follow up well, who don't let things fall through the cracks, and who are in control of their workload, stand out from everyone else, right? I mean, it's just clear. Everybody knows who they are. They're the go-to guys or gals, and they rock.
Yeah.
So how do I become one of those people? That's what I want.
What's funny is it's not hard. You know, this always reminds me of my statement, you know, it doesn't make any sense to put your best foot forward if you're going to drag the other foot behind. And for a lot of young people, in fact, when I was a young lieutenant, one of the colonels we worked for in Hawaii said, you know, lieutenants, one of the first things lieutenants learn is you got to follow up. Just because you asked doesn't mean it's been done. Just because somebody said they were going to do it doesn't mean it's done, right?
Right.
It's a marathon and not a sprint. I mean, how many cute sayings can we come up with? And it also reminds me of DISC that the D's and I's, the high D's and I's, love starting things, right? And then they want to move on to the next thing, you know, as we like to joke, squirrel.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you what, high C's are really good at this, and high S's are better at it than high D's and I's. My C's have different problems in terms of irritating people with being overly detailed about it. But the fact is, people get excited about things and then the excitement wears off and the boring day in, day out, repetitive tasks of making something happen, as opposed to the excitement of dreaming something up, it turns people off and they don't follow up. And in today's world, if you don't follow up, things are not going to get completed. We have four recommendations. And for many of you listening, this is going to be a very basic cast. For some of you, it'll be a nice refresher. And if you're a newer listener or if you're a younger listener, Mike and I can promise you that the folks that we know who are at the highest levels will tell you one of their secrets is they follow up. They don't make a big deal out of it. They just start something and then they finish it. And they do it in a boring, repetitive, unsexy, unpretty way. And it works. And our four are very simple. You're going to laugh when you hear them, but somebody's got to say this stuff because it's important. Number one, you got to write it down, you know, and shame on me. I break that rule quite frequently. In fact, because of this cast, I wrote something down this morning because I knew we were going to record. And I said, you know, if you don't write that down, it's not going to get done today.
So you can follow up with me at the end of the day and you can tell me if that worked better.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. In fact, let's just stop the cast right now. I'll get it done and then I'll get it up. Number two, use technology to help you. Nothing wrong with writing stuff down with pen and paper, but technology can help in the mobile world we live in today. Number three, here's the thing that people forget. You've got to make time to review. You've got to keep track of all the things that are out there that are percolating, and you've got to touch base and find out what their status is. And then number four, and this is particularly for the high C's of the world, you've got to be nice. If you have a habit of following up, if you are a professional in your way of dealing with things that take weeks and months and quarters and so on, that's good. But simply because you're the only one that follows up doesn't mean you have to be a scold about it. You can be professional and you can be polite. So write it down, use technology to help you, make time to review. That's my favorite, and be nice.
Okay, write it down. That's probably the simplest recommendation we'll ever make. I mean, it doesn't get more any easier than that.
Next week, we're going to be with one client and then we're going to be given a conference, right? And somebody will fight us at both the client site and at the conference about taking notes in a one-on-one. Oh, I don't want people to be thinking that I'm documenting. When in fact, every business meeting everyone goes to, if you haven't heard it somewhere before here, let me just tell you, you don't go to meetings without some way to write stuff down.
It's probably happened to you as it's happened to me, right? Where I ask one of my directs to do something and they just sit there and they nod their head.
Yeah.
And I go like, are you going to write it down?
Yeah.
If you're not writing it down, it's not going to happen. That's my experience.
Yeah. And that's where perception is reality, right? I mean, if your direct doesn't write it down and you look at him, I mean, the direct says, oh, I've got it in his head or her head. She's thinking, I got it. And the boss is thinking, he doesn't have it. I don't know. I don't want to go through my week knowing that my boss thinks I don't have it. because he's going to be asking or she's going to be asking when I don't want to be answering about what the status is. But look, people do it all the time. They act as if writing stuff down is beneath them. Well, I've got it. It's on top of my head. Well, often those are the people who, frankly, are busy, 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 and it slips out of their head. And then they think nothing of saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot.
Right.
What? You said you'd do it. What? Seriously? Yeah.
Yeah. So our simple advice is simply, if you're asked to do something, whatever it is, whatever you commit to, just write it down. It doesn't matter whether you're writing it down on your PDA, using your PDA, or in a date timer, or a notepad, whatever, but write it down.
Yeah, and look, folks, this is not, we don't want to be scolds here, but the evidence on this, on writing stuff down is really overwhelming. You really can keep about 7 things in your head at one time, and actually you can only think of one thing at a time. Just because you're switching to between them quickly doesn't mean you're thinking about multiple things. Again, you've heard us here, heard us say this before. Multitasking is a big, fat, ugly lie. Look, if you look at an email from your boss, it may well remind you about the article you promised to find for her. But that may not come to mind if you've already have 7 things in your head, right? What we're recommending here is don't leave your career to the chance of whether you have 7 things in your head already at any one point in time. And based on my experience in the last few years, everybody's trying to have 50 things in their mind and they only really probably have 7, or maybe if you're lucky, 8 or 9. Look, memory is a tough thing. And usually the thing that you fear the most or the thing that you want the most is the thing that keeps coming back to the top of your mind. Even when you've got barely anything to do, when you're just starting a job, you know, you got to learn people's names, you got to know what they do, the basic stuff. Even in the very beginning, your mind is going to get filled up with stuff because your mind wants to be filled up with stuff. Even if you feel you can remember everything you need to right now, if you don't get in the habit of writing stuff down early in your career, it's going to be a mistake. And I would be willing to bet that some of you who are 30, 35, 40 in the middle of your careers are probably thinking, no, I already know that. This is a good time to remind yourself, no, you need to be doing it. You need to go back and ask yourself, are you writing down everything? In fact, don't go anywhere without some ability to write something down. And if you're going to tell us it's your phone, that's okay. We're all right with that. But don't just listen and then say, well, I had my phone, so I had the ability to write it down, and then not write it down, right? Get in the habit of writing things down now. If you're younger, that may be one of the 10 or 20 most important things we ever tell you regarding your career. Get in the habit of writing things down now. If you ever see a senior executive walking around and his or her admin is with them and the executive is not writing things down, the admin probably is. And the admin's job is remembering stuff and then feeding that back to the executive so the executive can execute rather than administrate.
Yeah. And look at folks, it's a lot harder to fix these problems later on in your career than it is now. So if you're new in your career, right, or you're young in your career, I don't mean young in terms of age, now's a good time to find a system that works for you. You know, while the demands are relatively low, when your workload doubles, when you get more responsibilities, or you become a manager or an executive, it's too late to develop these really basic systems of effectiveness. You got to develop that system now.
Yeah. And look, don't write things down on random scraps of paper or on sticky notes, except for the briefest of moments when you're just getting off a call, and then take 30 seconds. We know you want to go to the next thing, but take a moment and put that sticky note somewhere or that scrap of paper in with the rest of the things you're writing down. If you're taking down a telephone number from a message, okay, you can put it on a post-it note and then you can put it where it goes. Transfer that number, right? Get it to your PDA, get it to some other receptacle. Look, part of the reason you want to do it, you want to take notes, is to look professional and to write things down, which your executives expect you to do, as Mike alluded to, right? When the direct doesn't write it down, you kind of go, why is he not writing this down? This is important. But a desk covered in post-it notes and scraps of paper, which, by the way, I mean, I see it all the time. It's like, you look like an idiot. You really do. You look unprofessional. It's almost like other people are whispering, doesn't he know yet that that's not how professionals do things?
I know. You just torque some people off, by the way, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And they're not going to tell you that, particularly if you don't work for them. And they're going to raise an eyebrow about you and about your boss some people say to us, oh, but, you know, that's their individual space. What? No, it's not. It's the company space. But even more important than that, who cares what's the individual space? There's a professional way to do things. And having 30 scraps of paper on your desk is not a professional way to do things. And if you want to be an individual as opposed to professional, that's fine. But don't be surprised when you don't get promoted to a level where professional behavior is expected. those of you who've read Getting Things Done by David Allen, who, by the way, we highly recommend David Allen's book, Getting Things Done.
Everybody answered yes, right?
Yeah,
you've all read it, right?
Yeah, everybody's read it, right? If you haven't read it, go read it. It's very powerful. And every time I do it, I'm like, gosh, I suck at this. And yet it works. You know the concept in the book of the waiting for list. Don't just enter the task that you're supposed to do. Send them to your boss and mark it complete, right? If you're waiting for some reaction back, if you're waiting for a response, if you're waiting for an answer, if you're waiting for a PO, if you're waiting for an invoice, if you're waiting for a check, keep the task on a waiting for list. Before your one-on-one, you can print the list and go through the work you've sent to your boss, for instance, in the event you're doing a one-on-one with your boss. If you've sent the task to someone and you're waiting on their contribution to a part of a project, or you send stuff to them and they send stuff to you, keep track of the stuff they owe you, right? Ensure you've got it written down and the time it's due back. Now, look, everybody tells me, oh, well, what time should I have? Well, should I ask for it back? I need to pad it with a couple of days, and people get upset, and I'm afraid if I give them the actual deadline. Look, folks, that depends on the person you're working with, okay? But the fact that it's written down and you have a deadline for when you need it back, that's the start of that professional behavior, and then you can massage that depending upon who you're working with. Look, let's go a step further. We're not just talking about writing things down you promised other people or that other people owe you. Write down the follow-up items which are prompted by an event. I'm amazed that people walk out of meetings and they've never written anything down, and I know they have deliverables. I'm trying to be the nice Mark in the last few years, but I just want to shake my head.
You must be sweating really bad right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I, before we got on the cast, were talking about excellence and how in American football, when they come off the field, when Peyton Manning comes off the field, they look at pictures of every single play and they go over they critique their performance on every single play and determine how they can get better. And yet, how many people do we talk to that don't want to come out of a sales call and have their boss critique it in detail? Well, okay. All the people who are really, really good at anything get unbelievable amounts of feedback about things, and they write stuff down and they follow up and they try to get better every single time. Write down those items that, you know, if you make a big sale to a customer, how impressed would they be? Think about yourself. If you got in sale and then people follow up, they say, well, I'll be in touch. And then what does that mean from a salesperson? It doesn't mean anything. It means the salesperson is available if you need something, but it's the rare salesperson who actually does follow up proactively, right? But if you wrote it down and you followed up every month for the next 6 months, and then 6 months after that forever, you know, how likely are you to get the next sale? Sales are about relationships, right?
Well, more likely than if you didn't keep in contact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Check in on the deliveries you've already made, whether it's a sale or a production schedule. Checking in on those things are an essential part of what professionals do. And look, one more thing that Wendy and I particularly feel strongly about, since we're talking about professional behavior, about having an effective career, the kind of behaviors, if you choose to have a notebook, and look, we'll talk about technology here in a minute, please consider upgrading from whatever the corporate standard pad is. I will say one exception to this is if you're a salesman or a salesperson, it's often a good idea to use a steno pad, a stenographer's pad, the kind that have the spiral binding at the top. And so it almost looks like you're taking dictation. It tends to add a bit of subordination to the sales role, and it makes the customer feel like they're dictating to you. I found that very effective in many cases. But for the most part, most of us, you want to stay away from whatever the company has in the stationery closet, if in fact they still have one. It's often what you're talking about there is cheap paper. It isn't nice to write on. It's a cheap outside cover. I saw a 40-year-old senior manager, perhaps maybe in his mind, he would consider himself a junior executive. And he's using, what do you call them? Composition books. They kind of, in America, they're
like school
probably,
books, right?
You might have they're maybe 6x9 or 6x8, something like that. Maybe they're 5x8 and they're bound with a glue strip on the side, and they have a black and white cover and it says composition. And they're what high school and college kids use here to write essays on, or creative writing, or take notes in class that they're required to carry around. And he said, you know, he'd been doing it since school, and it's his way of doing it. And I said, yeah, it looks like you're still in school. And he looked around the room, and as it happened, every single other person at his level and above had very nice leather-bound binders, usually the kind that you can get inserts for, right? So that you don't have to keep buying a new leather binder. Look, we encourage you to invest a little bit in your career. Buy a notebook which is commensurate with the rest of your attire and your ambition.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Smyson notebook that Mark carries around, which is very, very nice, right? But if you're a plant foreman, okay, you don't have to carry that around.
Right,
but
yeah.
But just think about, look around, see what the average person is carrying, and make it a little nicer than that. You'll probably be okay.
Yeah. In my mind, the whole Smyson thing, I'm a big Anglophile, so Smyson is, you know, makes stuff for the king and queen, for royalty. And I think my recollection is that Tony Blair, the former prime minister of Great Britain is, or UK is, his wife was their chief designer for a while and may in fact still be, I don't know. And, you know, I have two of them. I have one which I carry in front of clients and one which I put podcast ideas in. And no offense, since our podcasts are probably gonna be around for 20 or 30 more years and millions of people listen to them, I don't mind having a nice notebook and thinking to myself, this is not crap I'm writing down. This is important and a lot of people are gonna benefit from it. And I'm going to take it seriously in the same way that I wouldn't want to be coaching an executive, never having been an executive. I wouldn't want to be coaching an executive and looking like I'm not one. And, yet, you know, there's the old saying about dressing two layers at the same level that people two levels higher than you do. I don't know that that's necessarily a requirement. I do know that if you have on a nice suit or you're trying to dress professionally and you have a crap notebook, people notice.
Yeah. Look, I hate the fact that it's true, but it is.
Yeah.
Appearance counts.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, and it shouldn't, but it does. So, folks, if you rebel at that, I'm sorry. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
This is you know, we may call this reality tools. Appearance counts, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's flip the coin, right, and talk about technology.
Yeah. Let's use technology to help us, right?
Yeah. Look, there really isn't anything wrong with a notebook and a hardback calendar on your desk, or if you're in the UK, a diary, right? For most of us, though, there's corporate email. We get tasked that way. There's calendaring system, which we probably don't run out every day. And we get invitations. We get lists of things to do. And things that do happen at multiple interviews, weekly, monthly, quarterly reporting, and so on. All that stuff added together can, quite frankly, vex the most assertive and aggressive person who has a physical writing system, pen and paper. So look, whether your company requires the use of Outlook or Lotus Notes or Blackberries or something else, or you prefer your own electronic system, the most important thing about using that electronic system is make sure it's helping you and not hindering you. And frankly, one of my biggest frustrations in the last couple of years has been moving away from when we were on Windows machines, going away from Outlook, which I had everything on. I was so excited this past fall when Outlook came to Mac and have discovered, unfortunately, it's really not a great product. So folks, if you're listening to me, I don't make technology recommendations very often, but Outlook for the Mac is not that good. And feel free to write me a note and say, Mark, shame on you for going to Mac. But on the other hand, that was for video. So someday we'll have video, more video on the website. Look, make sure that your technology serves you. And if you've got a BlackBerry, okay, fine. If your company says you have to have a BlackBerry, fine. Figure out a way to use it. Figure out how to write down tasks. Figure out how to use notes to help you get done what you needed to do. I certainly have a nice iPhone. And yet there are times when I thought, you know, I need to spend more time on apps and figure out exactly which app, whether it's To-Do or whether it's OmniFocus or whatever, that I can truly use that is integrated with everything. And yet at the same time, not be one of those people that endlessly tweaks my system and spends hours on the system rather than on what the system is supposed to produce, which is effectiveness. We don't want to spend all our time being efficient and getting better at something when in fact what we really want is effectiveness, which is doing the right things. Look, there are some things which electronic systems are good at. Repeating tasks is one that's really great, right? You just put it repeatedly every week. Far better to have a system remind you monthly to start your reporting than to have to write it on your calendar 12 times, right? Electronic systems are also good at allowing you to create sortable lists so you can see what's due first, right? And when you check something off, it's gone. You don't have to look at it 7 times a day or cross through it on your notebook and then have to go back through and read what's crossed through. That's much harder on paper. you know, if you're invited to multiple meetings a day on an electronic system, the system keeps track of your free and busy time, and that's helpful. Now, look, if you get invited to a lot of meetings, I hate to say this, but folks, we've talked about this before in calendaring, you got to block out time on your calendar to work on your priorities rather than just letting your calendar be a thing that captures all the meetings you go to. If you look at your calendar, folks, and all you have on there is meetings, that is not a professional calendar. That is a meeting journal, and that is not what your calendar is for. Your calendar is for making you effective by putting time on it for the most important things. If all you have is meetings, then essentially your calendar is just your outwardly facing list of things that other people want you to do.
Hard to get excited about that.
Yeah. So look, in our Building a Network cast, we recommended adding a task to Outlook. In Outlook, it was Control Shift K, and then you hit Control G, and that allows you to make it a repetitive task for staying in touch with people. So we totally believe in technology, folks. But if you've listened to our cast on meetings, we don't recommend laptops and other electronic items during your meetings. So how do you get your tasks into your electronic system if you can't take your laptop to the meeting? And folks, I don't know anyone I've ever met in all our time, all our travels, all over the world, Manager Tools and before, that I would ever change my recommendation regarding taking a laptop to a meeting. If you think you're the one technology person that should be able to take a laptop to a meeting, fine. But I can assure you, and you may think your company is different, but I'd be willing to bet you there are people in your company who go, I hate all the laptops at meetings. And I promise you, if you're at a meeting and everybody's on their laptops, unless your company requires it to be shut down and they've blanked out Wi-Fi at that meeting, people are doing email at your meeting. And when you are running the meeting, you're going to hate them. And when people look up and go, huh, you know they were doing something other than paying attention to the flow of the meeting. But look, what do you do about that? Look, the answer is easy. You take a notebook, you take notes, and then you enter the notes into your electronic system afterwards. And look, I know what people are thinking, and we're okay with you thinking that. We're not going to argue that that sounds, at least in the microcosm, inefficient. And the whole point is, aren't we trying to be more efficient here? Yeah, we are. But look, we also know that managers and great executives and great managers have great relationships. They don't put efficiency in front of relationships. Your laptop, your PDA, your phone creates a barrier between you and other people in the room. It's like there's you and a PDA, and there's you and your PDA in a relationship. And then you two trying to have a relationship with other people in the room. That doesn't work, folks. They can't see what you're writing. They think the worst, right? Even if you're writing in a notebook, they don't know what you're writing in the notebook any more than what they're doing on a laptop. We've heard that one before too, so don't throw that one at us. And yet people think more warmly about you. There are studies that show this. At least half of the people in the room, in any room you're in almost any situation that we've been, at least half of the people in the room want to concentrate on the human relationships in that room as opposed to the tasks that are going on. And those are the I's and the S's in the room for those of you who know DISC. So what you do is you take a notebook and you enter the tasks in later. You get the tasks down, and yet the notebook allows you to spend more time paying attention to others. Now, for those of you who say you can type faster than you can write, that may be true, but there's ample evidence that typing is not a good way to take notes in meetings. There's all kinds of studies, and it irritates other people as well.
Yeah, and if you're one of those folks who are saying that to yourself right now, then you could probably do some good by following this advice, because you're probably one who's more focused on tasks than people. And you know, your challenge in life and your career is to focus more on people. If you want to increase your effectiveness, you're going to focus more on people.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of how serious we are about this. If you're a young executive and you're still taking notes on your laptop in a meeting, and your boss says, you know, Jennifer, I think you've got a chance to really go far. I mean, you've got C-suite potential, and yet I think there's some things you probably get better on. I'm busy in the next 6 months, but I think maybe we ought to juice your career a little bit here. Let's bring in a consultant. Let's bring in a coach, and let's have that coach identify some areas that you can improve in. And let's see if maybe that can help a little bit. And hopefully you're smart and go, wow, that's cool. Good. And then he says, I know you listen to Manager Tools. Why don't we get that guy, Ozan or Horseman, to come out? And if you don't hate me, maybe you pick me. And I come out and sit down and we start talking. And I go, I spend a day with you to learn about your calendar and your schedule and your priorities. And at the end of the first meeting, I take you aside and I say this, we have a decision to make. You can keep going to meetings with laptops and I won't coach you. or you can stop taking laptop to your meeting and I can help you become a better executive. It's one or the other, black or white. I won't coach you if you think it's efficient and effective to take a laptop to your meetings. Wrong. It's just wrong. And you may say to yourself, well, Mark, you just don't know our culture. And okay, I'll be wrong. And then I'm not your coach. Find another coach. That's how strongly we feel about not having technology in meetings. And yet still, we want you to have technology. And we don't mind if you have two phones. We don't mind if you have one phone for email and one phone for talking on the phone. That's fine. We just want you to recognize that you need to do that efficiently. And that means writing some things down and then transferring to the phone later.
Good. Now, our next recommendation, making time to review, is for me has been a huge improvement in my ability to follow up, right?
I mean, I thought you were going to say challenge, but I think probably you and I could both say challenge and improvement, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When I do it, man, my effectiveness for the week, for the day just goes up, you know, 300%. It's a big thing for me in terms of improvement, and it's a challenge. And I don't always do it. And when I don't do it, man, do I know the difference. In any good system out there, I think we mentioned David Allen's Getting Things Done, the review is part of the process.
Yep. Yeah. So look, folks, it's easy. You've got a list of things that you're doing that you have to follow up on, right? You review that list daily. Okay. It's no use having a list of things to follow up on if you don't look at it and action it. The science of performance and performance management says it's easier for us to start a new habit if we anchor it to something we already do. So if the first thing you do every morning is get a cup of coffee, which makes you my friend, that's for sure. Review your list while you're drinking that first cup of coffee. After a while, coffee and list reviewing will go hand in hand. In my case, I try to do it, 5 or 10 minutes before I have to leave the office. And what I've learned actually in the last probably 6 months or a year with travel is that's not completely effective for me. There are times when I get asked to stand up and go right away. And so I'm not sure I'm going to stick with that. Another thing I know I do is, in my case, I use plane rides to do it. And it's simply time on my calendar for follow-up and task review. And I've been keeping it, actually, Mike, I've been keeping it on a separate calendar, and I need to start publishing it more so that, other people can see what I'm doing. I'm not recommending that for everybody listening, but I think that will be helpful for me, some more transparency, as you and I were talking about before.
Yeah.
You've got to have time on your calendar daily, and we would also recommend weekly, if you listen to David Allen, which we do, to check on things that are outstanding. And I tell you what most people do. They wait until, now I need that thing and it's still been out there and ooh, it's been a while. And folks, everything decays. Margins decay, relationships decay, task urgency decays, particularly if there's no deadline. And if it's been longer than you and the person that you were waiting to hear from think it should have been, the chances of it having gotten done, it's like a half-life thing. Every day, the chances of it getting done is half as great as it was the day before, simply because everything seems to be so urgent these days. Not that it wasn't urgent 20 or 30 or 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Time every day. Simple as that.
Now, our last point, be nice. That seems kind of odd. Well, what's the deal with that?
What are you laughing at? What, you don't think I can be nice?
I didn't quite mean it that way. Yeah. Just as a recommendation, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, but look, we've got a list of things that need to be done. Things which are owed, things we need to follow up on, usually with other people or a system, which probably is managed by a person. We look at it every day. We follow up when necessary. Okay. But let's flip that a little bit. And we know, I promise you this, what won't be successful? Walking up to your associate and saying, hey, you owed me that report 3 minutes ago. Where is it?
Yeah. Okay.
It's a nice little fantasy. Actually, my fantasy is snap your fingers and Bill automatically teleports to you with the report done, with an apology for being
premature. That's not being nice. That's just being a jerk.
Yeah. Look, high D's and C's have no problem following up. To them, the simple fact is there's a task that has to be done. Somebody hasn't done it. It's just a factual case of you failed and now let's solve the problem. If you want to cry about it, that's your issue. I just want my stuff. But in fact, I's and S's do better here because they're willing to persuade a little bit. They're willing to cajole. They're willing to be understanding.
Hey, folks, and by the way, I's, S's, C's, we've been making reference to these things. If you're new to Career Tools, then those things are probably not familiar to you. So we're talking about the DISC, D-I-S-C, profile. We won't go into it here, but there's more information on the Manager Tools website if you're interested.
Yeah, we've probably got 20, at least 20 casts about discs in fashion, right?
So don't let it throw you.
Yeah, be nice. Go back to the person a few days or a few hours before the task is due and say, "Hey, Joe, I just want to check that my report is still due on Wednesday," right? It's a general reminder that it's due. That's all. If Joe says no because he had to reprioritize or he forgot, just like you probably have to reprioritize sometimes or you forget sometimes, you have some warning so you can make a change to your plan. You know, and look, another cast probably will be, you did have a contingency plan for if somebody else failed to put the same level of urgency on something that you think is important, then they, you know, they put less urgency to something that you think is important than they do.
Yeah, of course. Of course I did.
Yeah. look, when you're following up after a positive event, such as a customer sale, there's no need to make a big deal out of it. You don't want to sell the fact that you're following up. We don't want to send a message that I'm efficient, but the other person is not. We don't want to surprise them. Friendly and light work much better. So, hey, I said I'd follow up. Just want to check in, see how things are going. If you need anything, please let me know. Okay. Look, following up, really what it boils down to is the difference between being reactive when the external forces that you rely on, and by the way, that only gets worse as you march up any kind of organizational ladder, folks. You can get less and less done by yourself the higher you go. Most people see that exact opposite and they're wrong, right? When other people are doing things that you rely on, if you don't follow up, you end up being reactive to other people's stuff. Following up is a way to become proactive. It's reaching forward instead of always fighting off what's coming towards you. And look, it's harder. There's no question. There's going to be a Maguire hump of the horseman curve as you try to do this and everything else you need to do. And you're going to stumble a little bit, right? Good, better, best. Never let me rest. You're going to get 1 or 2% better at this. And we need to make it a habit. Getting better at being ahead of your work instead of always being behind, though, is how you get down that slope of the horseman curve to the land of milk and honey. Careers are built on results and relationships, and following up is an essential skill which allows you to get better results. Simple as that. So, quick review, write it down. Use that technology, but probably not in meetings, folks. Make time to review. Put it on your calendar and just review stuff. It's not hard. And be nice when you do it. There's not, you know, nice is such an incredible competitive advantage. And I talk about it more and more nowadays because I realize that niceness increases the chances for relationships and results, which are the two keys in career tools.
Excellent. Thanks, my friend.
My pleasure, partner.
Bye. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.